Well, there was a Catholic priest that was pulled over for speeding way above the speed limit by a police officer. Oh, the priest tried every excuse to get out of the ticket. This is not autobiographical. So he tried every excuse to get out of the ticket. Finally, he said to the officer, "Officer, in the Bible it says, 'Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy.'" The police officer thought about it for a moment, wrote out the ticket, gave it to the priest, and says, "Father, here's your ticket. Repent, go, and sin no more." Well, that's how today's gospel starts, with Jesus' first preaching, repent. Notice it's the same first message that John the Baptist had given. See, our spiritual life always begins with repentance. We always have to turn away from sin and turn towards God. Turn away from self and selfishness and turn towards the Lord. That's what repentance is. It's a conversion. It's a change of heart. It's a new way of life. So John the Baptist had preached his very first message: repent, confess your sins, turn your life around, and then follow the Lord. It says in today's gospel, when the Lord began his public ministry, the first words out of his mouth were the same thing: repent. That's how we really begin our journey towards God, is turning away from sin and turning towards God, turning towards grace and a new way of life. So if you really want to grow in your spiritual life, the first thing you do is go to confession. You examine your conscience, make a good confession, repent, and then really your spiritual life will take off, because then you'll be able to really get the graces from the sacraments of the Holy Eucharist and the sacraments that the Lord wants to give us and all the graces he wants to give us. So that is the theme in today's gospel, when the Lord called people to repentance. Now, if we look right at the beginning of today's gospel, you'll see that John the Baptist had just been arrested. He was arrested by Herod because John publicly denounced Herod for taking his brother's wife, living in adultery. And so John was arrested. And so it says the Lord then began his public ministry. See, John was the one who would prepare the way for the Lord. John was the best man. Jesus was the bridegroom. And when the best man's job was done, then the bridegroom came onto the scene. So John is now arrested. His public ministry is ending, and the Lord's is beginning. And notice that this time the Lord had been living all these years in Nazareth. For 30 years, the Lord lived a very quiet, very obscure. He was a carpenter. He had not worked any miracles up until this point, but now he begins his public ministry. He leaves Nazareth and he goes to live by Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee. This was a much larger city. It was out of the reach of King Herod, and it was an area where there was a great deal of traffic. It was the largest of the 30 cities along the Sea of Galilee in the Lord's day. And all the major roads passed through Capernaum. People traveling to the Mediterranean Sea would go through Capernaum. People going out east to Damascus or going south towards Africa or Egypt. This was a great place for the Lord to be able to reach the most number of souls. And this is where the Lord would spend 3 years teaching and healing and preaching in Capernaum along the Sea of Galilee. And this was to fulfill Isaiah the prophet, that in this land, the people who sat in darkness would see a great light. So Jesus is the light of the world amongst people living in darkness. In fact, at your very baptism, you were given a baptismal candle, which represents Jesus, the light of the world. Take a look over here at the Paschal candle, at Easter Vigil. That candle is lit and carried into the church. The church is in total darkness, but that represents Jesus, the light of the world. So Jesus is the light of the world. And we see it fulfilled Isaiah the prophet, that those who sat in darkness would see a great light. So the Lord comes onto the scene. He calls people to repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then the Lord decides to build his church. And notice who he chooses. He chooses these ordinary fishermen. None of them were Pharisees or Sadducees or member of the Sanhedrin. They were not wealthy. They were just ordinary people that the Lord chose. They were ordinary fishermen. And he comes across two sets of brothers, Simon, who he would change his name to Peter, and his brother Andrew, and then James and John, another set of brothers. And what's interesting, if you read in the other Gospels, the Lord had already met these apostles before. Remember, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. So was John. He was a disciple of John the Baptist. So they had already been introduced to Christ. They'd already met the Lord. But now the Lord calls them to be followers, to be disciples. So he walks up to them and gives the shortest sermon in the history of sermons. Come after me, I will make you fishers of men. A very short, powerful message. And he said it first to Andrew and to Peter. And it says they left everything. They left their boat, they left their fishing nets, everything. And immediately, sacrificially, generously, followed Christ. And he walked along and saw two others, James and John. They were with their father in the boat, mending their nets. Jesus called them, and they left everything, including their family member, including their father, along with the hired men would probably, obviously, take care of him. But they left. So you see this idea of a vocation, that these men were called. And what does the Lord say? I will make you fishers of men. They would no longer be catching fish. They would be catching souls and saving souls for the kingdom of God. And so they would give up everything to follow the Lord. So what we see here is a vocation. A vocation is a call from God. And of course, every one of us has a vocation. The universal vocation is to get to heaven and to become a saint. That's everybody's vocation. Mother Teresa said that sanctity is not the vocation of a few, it's the calling of everyone. So everyone has a vocation to become a saint and to get to heaven. But underneath the universal vocation, everybody has an individual vocation to be a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a doctor, a teacher, a lawyer, a nurse. So everybody has other vocations under the big vocation of getting to heaven and becoming a saint. And in the vocations, there are different callings. For example, some are called to religious life, to become priests or nuns, or deacons or brothers. Others are called to marriage. Others are called to the single life in the world. So those are the different vocations that the Lord gives us. But I think, especially in this day and age, there is such a need for more priests and a great need for more religious sisters, for more nuns. We need those witnesses in the world. So I'd certainly encourage our young people to be open, if God is calling them to become a priest or a nun, to answer generously and sacrificially, just as these apostles answered the Lord. They immediately abandoned everything and followed Christ. They were willing to sacrifice material things. They were willing to sacrifice and show detachment from family, from their possessions, to follow Jesus in order to become fishers of men, to help save souls, to get souls to heaven, and to build up the kingdom of God. So hope our young people out here today will be open to their vocation, if God is calling them to become a priest or a nun, to say yes generously to the Lord. But there's also, the Lord is often calling people later in life, which is very interesting. Just as these fishermen already had their occupation, so the Lord often calls people even later in life to become deacons or even religious sisters. Some of my friends in the seminary had been married, their spouses died, and then entered the seminary. So sometimes vocations come later in life or to the diaconate. Married men could be called to the diaconate. Many religious orders of women are calling women that are older to become religious sisters. So it is possible to be called early in life. It's possible to be called later in life to a particular vocation. So whenever the Lord calls us, we should try to answer like these apostles, with great trust in the Lord, sacrifice and generosity in following whatever vocation God calls us to.